Free to sing or like whatever you feel comfortable doing. I
I'll let you
usually
sing. I'm good.
start off the
You don't start the podcast with the Pledge of Allegiance.
That's a really good question. You are in Florida. This is episode 11 of Tail Whip Comedy's See You Later, and we have a very special guest today. We have Bo Johnson in the studio, and we're very happy that you're here. This is very cool.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Oh, go ahead.
I say it like every episode that this is a special episode. Every time I go, this one's a special one. This one's a special one. This one's actually a special one.
So we mean it pumped. This time. Yeah.
You're in double digits now.
We are in double digit.
It took a long time.
Second ever double digit episode.
Second ever. Maybe the last one. Who knows? Okay. So you are touring through the nation, the beautiful nation, and you've ended up in the butthole of the United States. Some people call it the penis of the United States. It's Florida. How do you feel about Florida?
I think I like it more than I mean, I'm from the West Coast. So I feel like the first time I came here, I wasn't really sure what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had a good time in Florida each visit. I feel like it's very, very different in every city.
That's because you went to St. Augustine today, right?
I've been in St. Augustine. I've been in Gainesville before. Tampa, St. Pete, Naples, Panama City, which I didn't know is Alabama and not Florida.
That's where they're from. And I tell them it's southern Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember my impression of Panama City is I've never been anywhere where every block they have their own Dollar Tree.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's not shocking. Yeah.
I was more like, I don't know how these are all staying in business.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Because they can't raise the prices.
No.
they did make up recently, for it. And it was really upsetting to a lot of Southern communities. It's mm-hmm. now $1.05. People are pretty heartbroken.
Is it actually?
It is.
Now they have to change all of the signs. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
It really doesn't. It's kind of a sticky phrase there. I don't like it. But you just went to St. Augustine and you stopped by the alligator farm. Is that right?
I did the zip line over the alligator farm.
Which, please tell us about this experience.
To be honest, it was kind of a bummer.
What?
I feel like I loved zoos growing mm-hmm. up, and I've tried to go to like all of the cool different zoos mm-hmm. that are supposed to be really good. I haven't been to the San Diego Zoo, but I went to like the Omaha Zoo, and this is really starting the podcast off on a funny note.
No, I want to know.
I feel like every time I go, and I didn't expect the alligator farm to be like the most animal friendly place in the world, but I feel like I understand the value of a zoo and conservation and keeping endangered animals alive.
Sure.
And every time I go, it just still feels kind of sad. And so it was like a ropes course slash and I don't know
did
enough
you do
about,
the ropes course
I did the ropes course slash zip line over top, and I don't know enough about this farm to speak to like what they're doing in a negative or positive light, but it's still just like alligators in like an alligator sized amount of water.
Oh no, it's like blackfish, so but alligators.
I mean, I don't know, but it felt kind of like the zip line ropes course, very fun, but it felt like that amount of fun was about equivalent to like looking down and seeing what looked kind of like a pretty bored, sad alligator. Oh. And I think they were about equivalent.
Yeah.
It kind of was like the only time I've ever done Molly. I ran into my ex-girlfriend's friends at the nightclub. And I was like, now I just feel like I'm exactly on nothing.
Oh, no.
How good that made me feel. I was like, it's totally leveled out.
Yeah.
Yeah, the alligators are probably pissed just watching people fly
dangle over their
day.
Sweaty terrarium.
I also was like, that's the type of thing where if you do die, no one's like, what a tragedy. He died doing the zip line. He died doing a zip line course over an alligator farm. You go, well.
Yeah.
Are they like, that's Bo? Like, is that like a pretty typical for you? Are you always looking for adventure in that way? Or you just wanted to see some happy animals?
I think it's just, I mean, I didn't expect them to be like happy. I think I just was hoping it would not bum me out, or I was like hoping it would be more like, how free range I was expecting the alligators to be, but it very much was like one alligator per alligator pond.
That's actually the most depressing thing I've ever heard.
It sucks.
Did you get to see the, isn't there an albino one there? He's still
I think I didn't do the actual walkthrough. So maybe there's like a happier section of alligators.
They segregate the alligators?
I don't know. All I know is under the ropes course zip line, it didn't feel good. Anyway, this is a comedy podcast.
I'm trying to think of things in Florida to like make up for this adventure. Florida's an interesting place.
I went to the lighthouse after. That was really pretty.
Love lighthouses.
Yeah.
You like hiked a mile, like in a spiral, right?
Yeah. It's the only, I feel like it's the only time I've ever been allowed to go to the top of a lighthouse. So that was nice.
I feel like every guy is really into that.
Yeah.
He went through a stint where he wanted to work inside of a lighthouse.
I was on Indeed every day doing lighthouse keeper. Couldn't find anything.
When I was in Portland, Maine, like last year, they've got a really pretty lighthouse on the water and you don't get to go to the top. And I remember reading there, I don't think it's the same about Florida lighthouses, but they're like all automated now. Ugh. They're like, there's no longer a person. It's like a robot lighthouse, which is
that
like a pretty, it is a pretty good job for a robot. That's like top two sexiest robot job, I think.
I'm pretty pissed it took his job.
Yeah.
So. These goddamn corporate bigwigs.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a tough thing. You're like in a small constituency of people affected by it, so it's hard to protest. You can be like, they're taking our jobs.
There has to
they're
be
like,
a union, right?
I think it's just
it's
you.
It's like seven guys.
There's six others.
Yeah.
There you go. We need a form of...
Something.
Something. Mm-hmm. Club.
Something club. Can we brag about you a little bit for those of you who don't know who Bo Johnson is?
Oh, there's a lot of them. Go ahead.
There's a lot of Bo Johnsons?
No. There's a lot of people who don't know who I am. So ahead. Yeah.
A lot of people do, though. You have hundreds of thousands of followers on multiple platforms, and it looks like you've done every festival in the United States and it placed pretty well in a fair amount of them. You are on Netflix is a Joke Radio. You did Just for Laughs in Montreal. It feels like you've done a lot. Are you feeling like you're like at the top of your... Where's up from here?
I hope this isn't the top.
What do you mean? This podcast isn't the peak of your career?
You're in Gainesville after this.
I feel like I've been very lucky. I've gotten to do cool stuff, but I'd like to be home more. I feel like that'd be nice.
What's back home that you're missing right now?
My girlfriend and our little dog.
Aww.
My folks.
I follow you. Is this Pixie?
Pixie, yeah.
Aww. Now that moment of silence for being away from dogs.
Yeah.
So sorry.
But I felt kind of bad because we have like the little like dog surveillance system, you know,
like a Furbo
kind of
thing?
The government state surveillance system for dogs.
I think
it's Blink or something like that where you can watch. We have like three cameras in the house.
Does it like throw treats or?
No, it's more just like if she has like we have had her like a little over a year and she started with like 5 second separation anxiety. Mm-hmm. And now she's like pretty solid for a few hours, but you have to get like a clean break. Like you need to kind of like get her calm, get her in her little nest.
Yeah.
And then get some TV on and then like kind of get out of the house without her knowing what's happening.
Yeah.
And then she'll be pretty settled and not like, but we have the cameras to be like, how's she doing at home? And right now my girlfriend is home with her, but and Pixie does not. I don't know if you have pets.
We have two dogs.
But do they respond to you at all? Like your voice over like FaceTime?
I don't think so. I don't know if we've tried it.
Otis doesn't respond to anything.
Yeah,
he just stares. Maybe might. I don't know. Your dog sounds cooler than ours if your dog does that.
She does not. She's not at all interested in my face and voice on like a FaceTime call. But I was like talking... My girlfriend had her phone charging in the bedroom, and so she didn't pick up my call. And so I went onto the camera, and I was like, I could see that you're home. Go into the phone so we can hang out. And then Pixie heard my voice, and then she was like, where is he? So I think it'd be nice to be home.
That is special.
When are you done with this tour and headed back home?
On Monday.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
and then like, I got 2 days at home.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Well, I hope you make a sweet post.
I mean, what's next? Maybe I should give you a more. I feel like you're like being very nice and excited, and I'm coming off of a long drive, and like the end of a third week on the road, where you're like you're doing so good, and I'm like, no. I think the goal would be there's a handful of cities where I can fill a room with like 100 to a few hundred people.
Mm-hmm.
Who are coming out knowing who I am, And that's like a whole different sport. I feel like that's what, like, when people watch comedy, or like what you're introduced to if you're a comedy fan, is usually like a Netflix special, mm-hmm. or that level of production. And so I think people's impression of comedy is like an electric theater where the show starts and people are like on their feet. There's already a standing ovation before the show started.
Yeah.
And that's not what comedy is most of the time.
I think we're the same age. Do you remember Dane Cook in like the octagon? Like, that was my idea of like, oh, every show is like this pandemonium. Like,
so I think that the goal would be like those places where I have people who know what they're coming for. Like, I've been, my friend Brad and I were talking about this. I think they, what's different about comedy than like music is people don't look up. Often people don't look up what they're going to when they buy tickets to a comedy show. And so sometimes they're like, they love it, and other times they hate it. And no one ever like goes to a concert and is like, I hate heavy metal. And you're like, well, why'd you go to the heavy metal festival? You could have read the title. So sometimes people go and they're like, this, I don't like quiet, dry comedy. And I'm like, well, I don't know. You could have just checked what you were going to for 5 minutes. So that's, I think, fair. That the hope, the goal is like to get to the place where you're mostly performing for people that are in line with what you think is funny. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where you have more freedom to be more creative. And I think maybe have to be more careful that what you're doing also holds up, mm-hmm. but have the permission to maybe do stuff that's less for like the most common denominator.
No, that's fair. Like, make it a little bit more niche for your
And I'm sorry by nature of setup.
No, that's okay.
And in the being in the beanbag chair, I will be looking at you less.
I can see the labor in your body. Just.
It is, hey. I feel like this is like, okay. I could be uncomfortable in a beanbag chair. The first guy ever.
I think next time you show up, we're going to have one on a Lazy Susan, mm-hmm. so that we can kind you of
spend, oh, that's spend a you good back and move. Forth. Yeah.
No, this is
by good. The time you get to episode 23. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Oh my gosh. Are you comfy? You look so comfy.
You can bet your buckets I'm comfy.
Bet my buckets that you're comfy?
Uh-huh.
I love this. If you are looking for, I don't know, like a piece of furniture that functions as a chair and then it easily functions as a bed because there's a bed inside, you know, like when you have guests, things like that, probably need a corduroy's beanbag. And you can get one just like we have here. It's a queen size. It's so comfy. So soft to the touch. You can get one for 30% off using corduroys.com/tailwhip.
Or code tailwhip at checkout.
Or use promo code tailwhip at checkout when you purchase your beanbag from corduroys.com.
What are you getting your mom for Christmas?
Probably a corduroy's beanbag.
Wow, that's crazy.
Is that what you're getting your mom for Christmas?
I'm getting both my parents individually. I'm getting them each one.
Holy shit.
And I'm going to use code tailwhip at checkout to get 30% off.
Or
corduroys.com/tailwhip or, or promo code tailwhip at checkout.
Or, yeah, I don't have anything else, but it's so comfy. We love it. Thanks so much.
All right, we'll get back into it.
So you said people sometimes will show up to shows and they're never like at music shows like, oh, I don't even like heavy metal. How would you describe your comedy if it had to be a genre of music?
Heavy metal.
Bo, no. It's
No. I don't know. I think
it's a Gregorian chant to me or something.
Mm, that's a good one.
My friend said Hall & Oates. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I can see that.
I could definitely see that. I love that you've had this conversation with someone else.
I think it was just because we talked about this like 4 days ago.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay. We do have some questions from people.
Okay.
And some of these people didn't make sense. And that's okay because you're going to help us figure out what they
mean. Right.
All right. We'll start with ones that do make sense. Your name's Bo. What's that short for, huh? That's I'm just reading it verbatim.
Kind of hot. It's short for the. I was named after the Aurora Borealis.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, because I was conceived under it.
He's joking. What?
No, that's
that's serious.
That's serious.
That's awesome.
This makes me hate Florida more.
Yeah.
God.
I mean, so my full name is Bo Royal Rupert Chmielewski Johnson. And this is one of the first jokes I ever wrote, which I'm now trying to return to and get rid of the parts that I don't like and get the parts that I think are more interesting to work. But
can you say it again? I'm so sorry. I'm like
Beau Royal Rupert Shmulevsky Johnson. So Aurora Borealis, Beau Royal.
So how do you fit that on a driver's license?
I don't know if they might on my wallet's over there. I don't know if they do the full thing on that or if they do initials. But it's pretty long.
Wow. I was going to say Robert.
It reminds me of like Billie Eilish's full name or something. This is incredible. I'm sorry I'm stunned by this. I feel like every person I know has the most boring name ever and yeah. You win.
Mm. Oh, thank you.
So great question from Jeremy, who didn't want his last name to be read.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I went with my last name in there with that kind of energy.
Or your full name.
No. I'm sure Jeremy's a lovely guy.
Quay asked, have you ever seen a post online of a couple together and thought, I hate that they're together? I'm sorry. These are...
I don't know. Nothing that's coming to mind.
Man, just a positive fella.
You're too positive. Yeah.
I feel like sometimes you like see the Instagram caption where it's like the three, I mean, this is not original to me, but you see like the three paragraph thing. You're like, they're not happy.
Right. Yeah. Somebody just got out of a fight. Or
like the joint account where it's like the married couple's account and you know that like the guy cheated, you know?
Oh yeah. So Facebook.
He's not allowed.
I feel like sometimes the more nonchalant, the like anniversary caption, the happier they are versus like, yeah, we have our good and our bad days, but I would rather, you know, and I'm like, huh? why is this the anniversary post?
Right. Our ups and our downs, yeah. The whole thing. Yeah, I'm with you. This one was sent at 4:50 in the morning from a guy named Sterling.
Okay.
You should read this one's pretty slow, okay?
I'm going to have to. Mostly because I was educated in the southeastern part of the United States, but also it doesn't make sense. How are you so optimistic given the state of the world? It's a statement. There was no question mark. Mm-hmm. No, you cannot discuss your supportive family or anything helpful. Only likes that help us feel comforted. Thank you.
One more time. I'm sorry.
Once again from Sterling. Thanks so much, Sterling. Yeah. How are you so optimistic given the state of the world? No, you cannot discuss your supportive family or anything helpful. Only likes that help us feel comforted. Thank you.
Only likes that help us feel
comforted. Yeah, what only likes help us
feel comforted? I feel like this is like between two ferns, but you don't know what's going on either.
Yeah, sorry about that. I thought maybe it was like a coded message you knew.
Yeah, he's
maybe
a sleeper agent or something.
No.
It did say Sterling. I think he was like from the Pacific Northwest. I was like, they're buddies. They're fucking with me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like I haven't come into the podcast that positive. You were like, things are going so good for you, and I was like, are they? I mean, I think what do you think that they're what is your listenership like? Who are these people? Are these like people who do comedy? Are these
It's my mom.
Okay, your mom.
My mom.
Yeah. Your mom's shout do out, comedy
mom. Oh yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, not perform it, but definitely consumers of comedy. Yeah. I think both of them could though.
So what type of optimism do you think they're referring to?
I think what they're asking is like, what's something that we can all like wrap our minds around for us all to be happy about? Like not your family and not the stuff that supports you, but like I think that's what they're going
for. Something universal that we could all
and not maybe exchanging it with the currency of online likes and I don't know, only likes that help us feel comforted. That one stuck with me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I don't think that online likes make you feel happy. I think that's like a trick. I feel like the internet has broken
our brains for that
a little bit. Well, I think it's more I can recognize that like the way our brains aren't supposed to work. I think it's like social media is kind of like gambling. And if you want to do something in the arts now, a lot of it is dictated by that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I shouldn't feel the serotonin rush equivalent to a sunset if like a post is performing well. Like I don't think your brain is supposed to work that way. So I do agree with that. I don't think your happiness should be derived from social media likes.
Isn't it crazy that the likes don't matter as much as the negative comments? Like the negative comments hurt you. Like you ever get that?
It's not, I feel like, the ratio.
Yeah.
The ratio of the emotional impact is not even for sure.
So
I think that maybe especially what will be crazy, if someone leaves like a negative comment and then their profile is public, I'll look at it and I'll be like, if I met you in an elevator, we would have nothing we agreed on or had in common about sense of taste, yet I care about your opinion so much and I don't know why.
Oh, 100%.
Our first clip was of Allie admitting that when she was a kid, she used to eat frozen hot dogs.
As a treat.
And so now every day for the last 11 weeks on our phones is just, you're the most disgusting person ever.
Yeah, throw your aunt in jail for feeding you that. One lady actually sent me an offer for free therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should have taken her up on it before that expired. But yeah. Damn. So.
But maybe a little thing. Let's see. What's a little thing that could be nice? I feel like if you're having a rough day, if you have like a meal you really like, I feel like during the toughest stretches of my life, what I always appreciate is like, oh, there's like a, like I had a back surgery in my early 20s and there's like a burrito place near my house. And I was like, you know, if I'm hungry and I haven't had lunch yet, even if today is awful, there can be like a 10-minute window where things are pretty good.
Damn.
You can house a burrito in 10 minutes? I'm like very, he does
that feel,
it.
That, I'm going to be honest, this is not good. That feels like I'm taking my time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Dude, what's the go-to order? Do you have like a, are you vegan? I have to ask, being from, Pacific Northwest. We all think that here in Florida, that everyone there only eats vegan cuisine.
Our dog is a very Pacific Northwest dog. She has like food allergies. She can't eat. She has like hypoallergenic food. Her only treat she can have without getting sick are like potato, like sweet potato, and then crickets. She can eat cricket.
Great source of protein.
And then she also is on anxiety medication. Yeah, so she's a very Pacific Northwest dog.
Wow. Shout out dog Perkies.
But no, I'm not vegan. I do think that they're maybe right, but I'm not vegan.
About Pacific Northwesterners being vegan, you're saying?
No, I mean, I think like maybe people... I think maybe vegan people are
right. They're right.
They might be right, or some of them, at least, depending on the angle, but I don't do that.
Is that a new perspective because of the alligator farm?
No, I think I think it's also just it's expensive to be, very expensive to be vegan in a healthy way.
Absolutely.
I feel like I remember they had like the sea, years ago, the Seaspiracy or something like that on Netflix about where like fish comes from. And I had, it was like, you know, some kind of a takedown of the seafood industry. Mm-hmm. And I think I had just gone to Costco and gotten like two or three rolls of like frozen salmon burgers. And I was like, I can't afford to watch this until after the fridge is cleared out. I was like, I need to eat these first.
That is, so then did you watched it and did you feel differently about the salmon?
No, I never watched it.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it takes a while to get through.
That's right.
Three rolls of salmon.
Yeah.
I don't even know what a roll is.
Or are they like salmon, frozen salmon burgers? I'm going to have, now that heat's going to be coming for us, for all these comments.
Damn. Well, we don't have to talk anymore about that, so we can avoid that if you want to. Sorry.
What, what was the inspiration for the start of the podcast? Or how do you, I don't know any of you. Who are you to each other? Are you all best friends? What's going on?
Pretty much.
We are all best friends.
Yeah?
Yeah. So Scott and I met. I was hosting show downtown Gainesville. Mm-hmm. And he came in for an open mic. Mm-hmm. And then we hit it off, became best friends. Now we're engaged.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And Cameron.
Did you propose on the podcast?
I should have.
That's a real missed opportunity.
I'm really glad that you did.
Why don't you mine your own happiness for likes?
Yeah. Yeah, real big missed opportunity there.
Yeah,
that sucks.
No.
And then he's my brother.
Oh, incredible.
So we all live together and then, yeah, that's it.
Work together and all have sort of shifted our careers away from our original jobs to focus on comedy and production.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So not really though. Our other jobs were a little bit more lucrative.
Yeah. What did you all used to do?
I was a pediatric cardiac ICU nurse.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
Yeah. But it's okay.
I'm a certified flight instructor, pilot.
Oh well, we need you more than ever now.
That's not true.
It's not true.
I've been looking for a job for a long time. It's easier to do this. Be a
That's
stand-up
wild.
Is that crazy?
I feel like I see like pilots wanted on like trucks now.
Yeah, and we don't have to get. I got a big rabbit hole to go down. It's a pyramid scheme. You know what I mean? Like
this feels more interesting than what I'm talking
so
about.
So like, yeah, like if you wanted to get your pilot's license, right, you need to pay an instructor, right?
Yeah.
And if I want to get to the airlines, I have to get a bunch of hours.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to pay for my hours. I want you to pay for my hours.
Yeah.
So then, of course, I'm going to try and convince people that there's a pilot shortage and that you could have a job in the future.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's pretty much it.
Okay.
If you don't do it through the military, we calculated it one time. It's like in the ballpark, like paying for your own hours and not just like getting them.
Yeah.
I think it was like $500,000 to $600,000 if you pay for like each individual hour.
So I have the license. I'm fully like ready to go. And those jobs just don't exist anymore.
Wild.
Isn't that crazy? So yeah.
And I am what he's doing, but just like a couple steps behind. That's all.
You're also doing the...
But I'm still getting my commercial
yeah.
license. It's like 2 steps behind, I guess.
Yeah. And hearing him say that, do you feel like I got to keep seeing it through now, or...
I mean, obviously, I'm still doing it right now because I can do both.
Yeah.
But his experience is tough. Just watching him go through it.
Yeah.
He's applied everywhere.
I applied to every skydiving place in the country.
And he lied to him about his weight.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm 96 pounds. So
because they want you to be lighter.
Yeah. So you can take more people. So I don't know what my plan was there, but they didn't call me back.
I never see. I think what's interesting to me about this, I never think about. I feel like we spend so much time doing comedy. I think about like, oh, what are the steps or the paths to getting like achieving whatever your like creative dreams are. You're like, oh, I'll do open mics first, then I'll start to host, then maybe I'll do guest spots, and I'll middle on the road, and I'll regionally headline. I never think about something like what are the steps or the different like levels and hierarchy for like a pilot, where you're like, well, before I get to fly a jet, right, I'll do like skydiving.
Yeah,
like that's like the entry point.
Yeah,
that's really interesting.
It would have been.
Yeah.
So if anybody out there is hiring certified flight instructors, please help us, right?
Yep. If you got an uncle that has a plane or something, let me know.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want me to fly you around for your tour, it'll only be like 10 times more expensive than what you're doing now.
Oh, man.
So you're from Seattle?
I'm from Seattle, yeah.
How do you feel about the Mariners this go around? You a big baseball guy?
I feel like I have not, to be fair, I have not given them the attention the last few years that I did when I was younger. Mm-hmm. But I feel like when I was a little kid, there was like a baseball announcer from Seattle called Dave Niehaus, who was like very, very good. I feel like had the energy of like a Latin American like football announcer, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Like was able to capture that type of emotion. And when I was a little kid, I like really loved baseball, and I probably listened to every single game on the radio for like a stretch of 6 or 7 years. And then when I got out of college and started doing stand-up, baseball, there's so many games that it's harder to follow when you're already like working a full-time job to start and then doing stand-up. And then when I didn't have the job, I was like, have shows almost every night. Mm-hmm. And so I think just the attention I was able to give it was not what it was when I was younger.
That's fair.
But I will say, like, I had a blast watching the Seahawks win the Super Bowl. And I kind of was like, loosely became a fan of them because college roommates were really big ESPN guys. But it never was like, it was exciting, but it never was like tapped into my inner child.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And then my dad's 81 and kind of, so I feel like I've been trying to like, if there's something he wants to do and he mentions, we'll really like try to go and do it more. And so he's like, I haven't been to a Mariners game in forever. And so we ended up going, my girlfriend, my mom and my dad, we went to the game where they got like locked into the wild card spot.
I bet that was
wild. And which is also maybe the like second time, I've probably gone to like one game a year for the last, you know, few decades, which is not a ton, granted. Maybe a few more when I was younger, but I've probably seen them win in person one other time. And so that was exciting in general, but I was like, oh, I kind of I kind of care about this right still. So
I saw the clip where you were on stage and they were telling you they were in like the 15th inning.
Yeah. So I'd say it tapped into, I was like, I've never gotten to watch a sports team win that I actually have any real emotion about. I think they're probably the only ones.
Damn. Are you going to watch the World Series?
I mean, I've had shows every night. I've been like, and I don't pay for any of the stuff. I've been paying attention to it on my phone when I can.
Yeah. We stayed up till like 3 a.m. Yeah. Last night.
Last night was wild.
It was. Yeah.
So we watched the game, the Mariners game that went to the 14th. And we got to show you this. This
was only the 14th. Sorry.
Was it 14, 15? Okay.
Yeah.
We have a viral meme that we posted.
Oh,
hey, that was not viral. He's
my mom liked it. So
yeah.
And we just want to get your opinion on it.
Okay.
For the audio listeners, the batter's name is Dingler and the pitcher's name is Bizardo. And Allie cleverly wrote, "She went Bizardo on my Dingler."
And I'm sorry, Dylan Dingler of the Detroit Tigers. I realize what that sounds like, but it's funny to me. So
we thought you'd appreciate this.
No, I think this is good.
That's all.
There's going to be 44 likes on that when I get out of the beanbag.
Yeah. I like how it had 45. He's like, it's going to lose two, but I'll give you one.
I miscounted. I misattributed the like count. Like, my two burner accounts are going to have to remove those.
Oh, my goodness. While we're pulling up stuff, we like to play a game. You know, we all live together. And we play a game where we show each other things on Facebook Marketplace and we have to guess how much we think it will cost.
Oh, this is a good game.
Are you excited for this?
I mean, I feel like I just don't sound very excited the time in general, but this sounds like a good time.
So we don't have a theme song for it.
I will
yet.
Say there is something kind of nice about having a very low baseline for how excited I can appear. Because if I am excited, but if I wasn't, I could be like, I'm so excited. He'd be like, I have no idea.
Know. Gosh. And you have a girlfriend, right? And
I do. Yeah.
Assuming that since you have a fur baby together, planning to get engaged at some point, you got to work on the, because you can't be like, you know, will you? And then she says yes. And then you're going to be like, yay.
I feel like if I'm like caught in a moment without, like when I'm not being witnessed, it's easier to like break out a little.
That's totally fair.
Like if I was like alone watching the Mariners, my excitement level was different than like I'm in stage in front of like like 90 people. It's gonna be different.
That's totally fair.
All right, Kim, you want to pull it up?
Okay.
Allie, do you want to make a jingle for us for this game? You're the jingle guy.
Facebook Marketplace. Uh-huh. Let's guess the price, guess please. The price.
So we're looking at silver painted skull with jewels around the whole thing,
and we didn't make up these titles. This is what they were labeled on Facebook.
And for the audio listeners, it's a silver painted skull. It's pretty big, bigger than a hand.
It's a little scary.
I don't see very many jewels, honestly. I see maybe five or six, which I'm not thrilled about.
The jewels are probably not actual jewels,
right?
So it's gonna.
Okay, so my guess was 10,000, but I think you're right.
I have a tough time saying, because on one hand, I feel like what it would cost at a store is maybe different than Facebook Marketplace. Because Facebook Marketplace inherently feels a little bit like, please take this off of my hands. Versus like if you went into the painted skull shop, they know you're dying to get a painted skull with jewels.
Yeah,
I'm going to go... I'm going to go $50.
Yeah, that's safe. I think that's safe. I think I'm going to go a little bit more bold and say
$30. $100.
That's crazy.
But the thing is, I wouldn't spend any of those amounts on this.
How much would you spend on this? Or if someone gave you this for free, would you keep it?
I don't dislike it, but I don't see it tying into the aesthetic of the home that we've been building.
Yeah. All right, Cameron.
So if you wanted the silver painted skulls with jewels around the whole thing, it only takes $10 to get that.
Actually a really good deal.
That is a pretty good deal, honestly.
And if I got sick of it, it does look recyclable. So that's pretty good. Yeah. be me.
Okay. So this is called The Fuggler. Mm. I don't know how I would... the lingerie on it is throwing me off a little bit.
I don't like the eyelashes.
It looks like a labubu that's ugly. And that's kind of all I
can
say. You
said these were popular a couple years ago?
Yeah, I think they tried to do like this ugly kind of stuffed animal thing.
Yeah. And
you've seen these?
No.
I remember them trying to like do it.
This is an introduction to me
for
this.
The wisdom teeth need to come out on
I
this thing.
I think that the teeth are what throw me the most.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
It looks
the teeth.
Like they could be real human teeth.
They are very...
When I looked on the page, I think that's a huge selling point.
Is that they are real?
Is that... No. But like...
Wow.
This is a thing of nightmares to me. I would much rather make room in my home for the silver skull ghouls than this.
Oh, man.
Is this something dirty, or is that like that you give this to like...
No, I think it's more of like a... Honestly, if I have to be serious about it, I think it's like a body positivity thing.
Yeah.
It's like a stuffed animal for like people who want to be body positive. All right, cut that. I think I'm going to guess. It looks like handmade, right? It looks like someone put a lot of time into this.
Oh, like they customize them, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought...
I got to go 110. 110.
Are these collectibles?
Great question.
Huh.
He stole my question.
Mm. Actually, I do see a tag on her left hip. So I wonder if that's...
$35.
I think I'm wrong, but I'm gonna go low. I'm gonna go $15.
Wow.
You can get this Fuggler for
$45. Damn, guys. What are we doing?
Allie, you were closest there.
And then this last one, I feel bad, but it's just like
a lot of toes.
Yep. So this is a streaming
stuff. This
is
gross, Cameron. I'm mad at you for this one.
Is it the photos of the feet or is it the items?
I think you get the items. I want, but it looks like they intentionally put the feet in every one of them.
Yes.
Like that has to be like a strategy of theirs.
Okay, so we have, what are the different things?
So it looks like a mic. It doesn't look like a name brand something. A little small mic. I guess like a, what is that? I don't even know what that second thing is.
I'm going to be honest. I'm less thrown by the feet and more by the floor.
HDMI video.
Oh, yeah. They're like exposed wood.
There's
like
no
wood.
You
floors.
do not be barefoot in this.
Hella splinters.
That's why they did it, because I saw the floor and they're like, I'm going to distract somebody with something else. Yeah.
These objects are worthless, is kind of what I'm going to say here.
This feels like if you were trying to cast a box of miscellaneous cords and these are all like the front runners.
Oh man,
I feel like they're at okay, this is the thing. I feel like this is the lowest value item, but I feel like this person
is
might want the most in comparison.
Yeah, just by their hands I could tell they're like an attention seeking
I'm gonna go $50.
Mm.
100.
I'm going 25.
Damn. Bo was actually right on it. $50 for the streaming stuff.
Congratulations.
Hell yeah. Wow. Thank you.
Wow. Have you ever sold anything on Facebook Marketplace? Can you get the toes off the fucking screen? It's really grossing me out, actually.
I've never sold anything. No.
You ever bought anything?
I think my girlfriend's very into Facebook Marketplace. We've gotten some good stuff off of that, but...
No silver painted skulls with jewels all around it.
No, I think we got like an old record player that needs to be fixed still. Like a, and some like.
Are you handy like that?
Dog. Oh, I'm not going to be fixing this. No. No, someone else. I wish.
Okay. That's fair.
I bought some audio equipment when we started the podcast on Facebook Marketplace. Mm-hmm. And it was an old man that I showed up to his house and he invited me into his bedroom.
And he went in.
I didn't even think twice. I was like, sure, man, wherever it's at.
Yeah.
And that was pretty,
I feel like these are some of the survival instincts that I have too.
It's just like, how polite can you be? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be like, no, I don't know.
Why?
No, I feel like there's like a lot of stuff in my life where I've been like, I'm going to say yes, either because it's easier than saying no, or I'm also like, oh, there'll be a great story.
Right.
And then a lot of the times it's like, this has just been a deeply unpleasant just part weird of my life that just happened that no one would ever want to hear about either.
Oh my goodness. I'm really mad at you about that still.
He was a very nice guy. I could tell in his eyes. his eyes looked at me and I said, I'm going to this bedroom.
And you did.
Yeah. And we made it out.
That's great. Please don't ever do that again. Do you gamble?
Not really, no.
Have you ever?
I think I lost maybe like $30 in Las Vegas one time.
Do you have like a game of choice that you lost your $30?
I didn't
$30?
Have a lot of skill. I think I just did the roulette table.
Oh, well. Ooh, okay.
Is the Hard Rock stuff legal in Washington?
Like a Hard Rock Cafe?
No, like the apps.
The app.
The betting apps.
You can gamble on your phone in the state of Florida and like eight other places.
I don't
places.
Know anything about this.
Awesome.
I'm probably the wrong person to ask.
No, you're a healthy guy. We're excited about that.
That's good.
I feel like all of the financial risk in gambling I've done has been in what I've chosen to do for a living. That satisfies enough of,
that's totally
enough
that's
of the need for me.
So we have a recurring segment on this podcast. I don't know if you know, but stake.us is a legal gambling site.
Okay.
And they give you a dollar every day to incentivize you to play. And so what they're trying to do is trick you into depositing more money, right? But we're not going to do that. So we've been running up our free dollar every day for 11 episodes.
Okay. And where are you at right now? Are you in the
We're at $6.
It's not good.
Like you're down. They've given you a dollar every day across 11,
right.
And you've
and
lost.
We're at five.
Okay, you're down five. Yeah. Okay.
So last episode was hit us pretty hard. You ever play blackjack?
Yeah, but not very often.
Well, that's okay. Since you're our guest, you're going to run this hand.
Okay, we're trying to get to 21, right?
We're not.
There we go. Immediate blackjack.
This is us.
That's us.
You're lucky.
We don't want to hit.
Nope.
You've just won.
Yeah.
You've automatically won.
Oh, amazing.
Yes.
That's the segment.
That was the whole segment.
You just gambled in Florida.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, that less satisfying than...
But we
this
we're
is just
asking
for the
about
listeners,
it.
Just so you know, you don't need to go to Gainesville from Seattle to make a dollar.
Oh, that's awesome. We like gambling a little bit. We love going to Vegas.
Having a party tonight.
Popping bottles.
How do we split this? 33 cents a piece?
No, it's all ours.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Oh, my goodness. We got on a kick for a little while where we were really into gambling on table tennis in...
That sounds kind of fun.
It was super fun.
It's awful. No, it's extremely fun, but the same way meth is. You know what I mean?
No.
Okay.
None of us have ever done meth. Mm-hmm. I think that was hyperbole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you're never going to get your pilot's license. No.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. FAA. Satire. All right. Keep going.
Good call on
Thank
that
you.
One.
Thank you.
For sure. There's a lot of different things you can gamble on this Hard Rock app. They now have, they call it Czechoslovakian table tennis, which I don't even think that country exists anymore. I think it's called something else now, but Hard Rock has not caught up on that. They have esports. You can gamble on a little boys playing Call of Duty.
Well, they're adults, but
no, they're fully teenagers on beanbags and
damn.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
we got down a hole a little bit.
They've now introduced a new thing too, where you can gamble on different things that Taylor Swift will say throughout the day on social media. We're in a real low here in Florida.
See, I feel like if you're going to lose your house gambling, it needs to be something old fashioned,
right?
Like a boxing match or like a card game. I feel like if my girlfriend was like, I've lost everything and it was poker, I would have more respect for her than if she was like, I lost, just so you know, my life savings are gone because I was wrong about what Taylor Swift was going to say. And I was wrong about which teenager was going to win Call of Duty. Like, it's the same outcome, but one of them, I feel like demands a little bit more. Yeah. Maybe it's an old-fashioned way of thinking.
No, I'm with you. I've never gambled on anything Taylor Swift has said.
I'm not even saying that you shouldn't gamble on these things, but I feel like if you're going to lose it all, it's got to be like the old-fashioned.
Right.
I'm with you.
I want the air to be smoky. You know what I mean? I want it to be dirty and dusty in there.
Some sort of just tumbleweed.
Not just me looking at my phone and then it's all gone.
Dude, the worst thing is waking up and getting a notification from Hard Rock being like, place your three bet parlay now.
30% bonus. And you're like, I got to do it. You know, just relatable stuff. So what do you want people in Gainesville to know about Bo before they, you know, see you? Because everybody is going to be so excited to see you tonight.
I think it'll be a good show. I think there's a few people driving from other places, which is nice. I feel like that's maybe that's something that I remember. I did like a festival years ago. Mm-hmm. I feel like it was one of the first times I got to do something where it felt like cooler. And it was like it was a comedy festival sponsored by Zappos in Las Vegas. And they like covered all of the travel and everyone got a hotel. And I was by far the newest and least accomplished comedian on the festival lineup. Mm-hmm. And so I remember that being like really cool. But two of the headliners they had were, oh my gosh, Garfunkel and Oates. Do you know them?
Shit, yeah.
The musical comedy duo.
That's so funny.
And they have a song. They had actually also been, when I went to the University of Washington, they were hired to be the... So I guess this is a little bit cool in a full circle way. They were hired to be the like freshman class, like first week activities. They were like, they had a performance and like,
the
big theater of like, you know, however many thousand kids they can pack into. I don't remember the name of the hall, but so I'd seen them do that song there and then they did it again, but I'd forgotten it. And it was like a nice reminder, but they have a song, I think, where they talk about, or the preamble at least is about like, if you've had like a long day as a performer, like you don't, like someone's driven or gotten a babysitter or whatever. I think that's like a nice thing to remember is like,
can you sing a little bit of it? Do you remember?
I honestly couldn't, but I feel like that'll be nice. There's a few people who like, I think it'd be easy to be like, oh, I wish the room was more full, but there's some people where they're really stoked
for
tonight. And they like put a lot of intention into coming. And that like
deserves
like energy.
With Ray, Ray Lau came last week to Gainesville, and there were women who traveled hours. Right. Like, I think one girl traveled a collective 4 hours round trip. And I was like, hey, have you ever been to a show before? Like a Tail Whip comedy show? And she was like, no, I'm not from here. I drove all this way to see Ray.
Yeah,
and like,
which is very nice. Sometimes I don't like hearing that before the show.
A lot of pressure.
Well, because I feel like yesterday in St. Augustine, I knew there were people driving from Jacksonville, and that doesn't feel that crazy. But like every once in a while, it'll be someone who's like, I drove like 6 hours for this. And I'm like, I've had like, I feel like I'm very hard on myself. Mm-hmm. I've had a handful of shows where I go, this was like, if you were here, this was really special.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I would be like, I'm not putting out like a 6 hour each way quality like experience. If you're not doing something else, I'd be like, the stakes on how funny I gotta be are so high.
That's tough.
And it's and not fully on me. But also I think like people it is really cool. It's a nice thing to remember, I think.
So like if you heard it before a show, do you still get like nervous before getting on stage and things like that?
I think it varies. I definitely get nervous for like a taping or I feel like any time it's like a new opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Feels higher stakes.
Feels like there's some nerves. And I think nerves can be good too. Mm-hmm. But I feel like whenever I'm like headlining a club that feels kind of like a little bit out of reach. Like I remember the first time I did like Punchline SF or like Dead Crow in Wilmington. Like these clubs I'd heard about maybe like early on. Or it was like, oh, John Mulaney recorded his first album here. Or like, I've seen videos of this place. I feel like that can be like, especially early on headlining more, that you're like, oh, I'm the show. Like, because when you're middling, if you don't do good.
You can bank on like.
If you don't do good, you're like, well, I wasn't like what was sold.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like if you went to like Olive Garden, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like, if you went to a steakhouse and the bread was kind of stale, you'd be like, I wish the bread was better. But if the steak is great, you're like, well, the steak was great.
That's a great analogy.
If you're like, I'm the steak.
Yeah.
Like, this is the show. So if I don't pull this off, it's kind of like, it's on me.
Do you have any like rituals or anything that you do before you get on stage or mantras or anything you do for preparation?
I think it depends more like where in a creative process I am. Like right now, I feel like I'm in between like I recorded something in April and it's not out yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's jokes. I think it depends on like if I've been to the place before and how much I think there might be repeat people. So like the more I have my own draw in a city and the more times I've been there, the more intentional I think I need to be about like what should I be telling that has either evolved extensively since I was last here or is new.
That's totally fair.
How often are you writing? How often do you, you know, have a new thing to present?
I don't know. I don't know what it is for you. I feel like it's like in waves. I feel like sometimes I'll have like a ton of stuff like right in a row and then there would be like a rut where like there's really nothing, or maybe like I'm writing stuff and, but it's just not, even if not awful, not at a quality that it could like replace anything.
Yeah.
And I think there's a certain amount of time where that's like all right. We're like, I'll give it a chance to find like the beats or the rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually I'm like, well, this is just not really good enough.
Yeah.
That's totally fair.
But yeah, other times you just like have an idea and it just works right away.
I take a lot of notes and they just sound insane. Mm-hmm. Like when I revisit them and I'm like, I wonder what I saw here.
I feel like sometimes the more excited I am about it, the harder the sell is going to be. Like almost the more stranger and out there I'm like, it's not that this can't work, but the work to get it, like the universe for everyone to understand where I'm coming from is going to be a little more challenging.
That's totally fair. Do you still hit like open mics and like workshops or anything like that to like,
yeah, at least once. If I'm home, usually at least once or twice a week. Yeah.
Do you have like a go-to spot?
There's a little club comedy in Seattle where I get to do like 7 minutes any Tuesday I'm home. And then there's a good mic on Wednesday. And then before the pandemic, for me, like the Comedy Underground was like the club I worked the door at and was at like 3 or 4 nights a week. And that shut down. But those are kind of the...
That's rough. I feel like so many different spots have... shut down. Like everybody we talk to in these different scenes are like, well, I used to before the pandemic. And I'm like,
Also shout out Ray Delayed. Ray's so funny.
He was wonderful. He was so kind.
Yeah.
We don't always
Seattle run into boy him. Too.
I know. I'm like really into the Seattle performers.
Seattle, Ray's fantastic. I think he's probably like, I think he started in LA, but he is a Seattle guy. And so he comes home a few times a year and it's always a treat to see him.
That's awesome. I think he went to UW too, right?
Yeah.
Man.
He's doing really well. I'm happy for him.
There's another Seattle comic, I think in a couple weeks, who's I'm opening for
Gabe Rutledge coming here.
He is performing at Vivid in Gainesville with
Gabe's
Chris
also
Buck.
Fantastic.
It's Sam Salem, Luke Sievereed.
I know Sam. I like Sam. I don't think he's from Seattle.
It was like he had something with like Pacific Northwest and his
interesting.
I don't know.
I could be off. I do know Sam and I like him, but I did not think he was from
Do you feel
Pacific
like
Northwest.
The Seattle scene is pretty big, or is there only like a handful of you all going out touring and, you know, having some bigger shows?
I feel like it's like a mid-sized scene.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's kind of the most recovered it's been after the pandemic. Like, I mean, there's a few people, there's like an old guard of headliners who have been doing stand-up since the 80s, or maybe if not that long, like, but who are like, there's a guy, Brad Upton, who had like a really successful dry bar special or two and kind of had his career blossom like later in life. Like he already had a good career, but for the first time ever had fans.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And he used to open for like Johnny Mathis and did a lot of corporate stuff because he can work clean. And then, another big, Joe Dombrowski is probably like the biggest touring comic in Seattle.
That's awesome. None touring out of Gainesville yet. I don't, but hey, we're
Gainesville's
coming.
Gainesville's a cool city though. I had a good time last time.
I love it here. And you have two really cool openers. You have Mark Lefton and Anna Dahl. I don't know if you know this. Mark Lefton, do you remember Blues Clues? He is the creator of Salt and Pepper's baby, Paprika.
I don't know Blue's Clues well enough. I know I didn't really grow up with a TV. for the most part.
Which makes sense. You were conceived under the Aurora Borealis.
My parents, our TV was behind the massage tables in their massage studio. And so I only could watch TV when
people were getting rubbed down and you have to like look past it.
Or when there were not people in the massage studio.
So one of your openers this evening, Mark Lefton, created this character that is on Blue's Clues.
I think that is very cool. I want to take nothing away from Mark. I wish that I was familiar enough with the universe of Blue's Clues to appreciate how significant that is.
It's huge. Because
I'm sure that it is. I'm just like, okay, I don't know.
No, he's
but
so
cool.
But
that's very cool.
And you have Anna Dahl too. Did Anna open for you last time?
Yeah, she was great.
God, she's so wonderful. She's such a delight. I feel like I can look into her eyes and just tell her anything. What a good person. Cool. Do you want any special shout outs about things you're recording or doing? Or
how many people am I speaking to?
We have clips that mm-hmm. will see more people. It's
okay.
Anywhere from our two moms mm-hmm. to 150 people right now.
Well, you know so. What? Your two moms, that's a two people at a time. That's what I'm going for.
That's right.
So to the moms, at some time in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to put out an hour for free on YouTube, and it'd be really nice if you watched it. And I'm much funnier in that hour than I have been on the beanbag chair.
So mom, please watch that. That was a request. Mm-hmm.
Or give it 15 minutes. If it's not for you, put it on mute and let it play the whole way through.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
All right.
Very cool. We really appreciate you stopping in to Tail Whip's See You Later podcast. You have been such a delight.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for stopping by.
And no, thank you for having me. I'm sorry I've been so... 1 degree lower energy than the normal normal low energy.
I thought this was you excited.
So. I'm not saying I wasn't excited, but you're getting me 3 weeks into travel, so I'm a little bit
sleepy. You've been going. But,
yeah.
All right. And then you'll be back home to your girlfriend and Pixie very soon. So safe travels to
you.
Thank you
very much.
Yeah. And we'll
I hope you get a job flying around skydivers.
Yeah. Or this.
Yeah. Or I hope you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
To episode 12.
Hopefully.
Yippee.
Thanks so much, Bo.
No, thank you for having me.
All right.
We'll see you later.